Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest for you. We have Robbie Baxter. Now, Robbie is a best-selling author, a speaker, and consultant with more than 20 years' experience providing strategic business advice to major organizations including Netflix, Consumer Reports, and LinkedIn, as well as leaders in industries including software as a service, media, retail, consumer products, healthcare, financial services, and hardware. In the past 10 years, her company, Peninsula Strategies, has advised over 100 organizations on subscriptions and growth strategy. Kelman Baxter has been featured in the Wall Street Journal and CNN, interviewed over on over 50 podcasts, and invited as a guest on numerous business shows. She's also received the MBA from the Stanford Graduate School of Business and graduated with honors from Harvard College. So that is quite a rap history. Robbie, I just want to start the podcast like I always do, just by saying a big thank you for being with me here today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I explained a ton of stuff. It sounds like you do everything and you're great at it, but let's jump into the first question. The first question I have for you is explaining a little bit more about what I had just said there, who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Yeah. So, I'm a subject matter expert on a specific type of organizational model, which is a model that is focused on the long-term relationship between the organization and the people that it serves. I call that transformational trend among organizations the membership economy, and the relationship between the organization and the people they serve a forever transaction. So I help companies and nonprofits and everything in between figure out how to rethink the way they work to be more focused on long-term impact and less focused on short-term transactions. So when you ask what makes me a social impactor, it's that I'm working with organizations to help them really focus on their long-term goals and optimize everything they do toward achieving those ends.
Okay, so explain to me what this idea then is of like the subscription economy. I mean, I understand the basis of what a subscription is, but why is that so important? And then why this new model? How is that then making that impact in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. So I call it the membership economy, and it's a move among organizations to treat whoever they serve like known members, trying to build a direct relationship with them. And it may include subscription pricing. So let's say you join an association because you believe in the goals that they have set forth. It used to be that you might pay a one-time donation, but now by focusing more on a membership and really thinking about why that person came in and joined you and what kind of relationship you can build with them and what kind of impact you can make together, you can completely rethink the model that you've established.
Okay, so it's like building an entirely new model into this that focuses more on kind of people at the center of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. So you've explained a little bit about yourself. I've explained it too, but how are you then with this idea of what you do with the membership economy and everything that you do on the side? How are you making a positive impact in your community?
Well, I hope I am. But there's a lot of different ways. So I'll start by saying, growing up and as a young adult, I was very involved in community service, community engagement. Started my career as an urban fellow for the city of New York and was very involved in, sort of how do I use the skills that I have and the education that I have to make the world a better place, to make people feel more productive and more connected, and to make things more equitable. And I ended up going kind of the path to business school because I've always been, kind of a bossy person, an organizationally oriented person, a person who likes to, kind of think through a strategy and then help people execute on it. And, what I've come to realize is that I can apply those skills in the working world, and I can apply those same skills in volunteer roles, in community roles, as a Girl Scout leader, that kind of thing. And so that's pretty much what I've done. I've tried to have a very fluid balance between what I do for work and what I do outside of work, and to kind of have a general policy of trying to say yes to help people when they ask.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing that I've learned. You know, there are people who make social impact in various ways, but every single one of them has it in many facets of their life, right? It's not just one thing. It's not work then at your home. You're not building impact in the world, right? You're always looking for ways to build a social impact. And it doesn't have to necessarily be money related, right? It can be volunteering. It can be with your, you know, Girl Scouts or Cubs or whatever the organization is. There are so many ways to build a social impact in the world.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think that we're moving more, I mean, more people are moving to what I think of as a portfolio life, to say, like, one of the things that I try to do is say every year, what do I want more of in my life? And what do I need less of? So if I say, you know, I don't feel like I'm contributing enough, or I don't feel enough connection, to say, what can I do to rebalance what I'm doing? And it might be, so for example, I do a lot of work in my consulting life for free, right? I help a lot of nonprofits, a lot of school organizations, a lot of kids organizations, thinking through how to build member relationships, how to raise money for their organizations, how to execute more effectively in building connection with their volunteers. And, you know, it, the line between, you know, what is work, what is personal, what is altruistic is very blurred.
So let's build on that idea of altruism, you know, this idea of volunteering, but let's bring it back to business. Because the next question I have for you is this idea of social impact, which I really do think includes, you know, altruism and doing the right thing and building just a general impact in the world. But do you believe social impact is an important part of business?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's been interesting because, you know, I'm an independent consultant and I work with a lot of different companies. And right now there's so much energy around, you know, building recurring revenue and bringing in people into digital community to kind of gather them to do something, to, you know, kind of have their mind share. And, you know, a lot of times I get requests that are either, you know, where I say, wow, I can really extend my social reach and the impact that I'm making to make the world a better place, or, you know, a worse place. So recent examples, you know, I've been asked to help with a pornography community, a cigarettes community, but also spiritual communities, communities for people to help in the schools. And so, you know, making those deliberate choices about which organizations to support, first of all, is important. Second, making sure that people inside the organization are treated well. So we spend between, you know, whatever, 8 and, you know, 14, 15 hours a day at work. If we don't feel like we're using our full selves there, and if the organizations aren't kind of using us well and engaging us well, that's a huge wasted, you know, kind of wasted talent. So one of the things that I think is really important is how organizations manage their workforce and how they build kind of I talk about this idea of a forever promise, but what does the organization promise to do for their employees? And that's something that I think has a pretty big impact on kind of the, you know, a big social impact.
I mean, it's entirely true. And everything you're talking about, especially in your book too, is the way we should be doing things. And there are businesses who do, but the amount of social impact you can make through business, and I'm a big believer in this, is on all levels, right? You can change someone's social being, the where they are socially, just by giving them, you know, a better wage, or giving them the opportunity to show up, or giving them the opportunity to use their skill sets properly. It ripple effects into their life. Social impact, business can be a huge driver of social impact.
Business is the biggest driver of social impact, I think.
Oh, I like that better.
and I would say, you know, Avery, that I actually think it has had an increasingly negative impact, a negative social impact. So, you know, there's a lot of people that feel really disconnected from their work or feel like they're not fairly compensated or that they're not recognized or that they can't bring their whole self to work. And I think that there's a very, very short-term focus in organizations. So I work with some organizations that say that lately I've been really enjoying working with family-run businesses. And the reason is that a family-run business, almost by definition, is focused on the long-term, right? This is something that the family wants to continue running together for the foreseeable future. And if you compare that with a public company that has quarterly goals to hit, the way that they think about the organization is completely different. When you have a short-term focus, a very transactional focus, you know, you think of your employees as widgets, right? They're interchangeable. If you quit, I'll bring someone else in. If you're exhausted, I'll let you go. And we bring other people in. If you're stuck with your family, first of all, you can't get rid of them. So you have to figure out how to use their best skills and engage them. But also, if you have a long-term focus on wanting your business to be successful beyond, let's say, next quarter, it really changes how you treat your customers. And often, you have to treat them better. Because if I sell you something today, let's say I sell you a car, and you roll it off the showroom floor, that's your problem now. If you don't ever use that car, if you get no value out of it, I don't really care because I hit my quarterly number. But if you're subscribing to the car, I have to count on you to pay me every month, and that forces me to behave better. Because if you're not driving the car, you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to stop subscribing. I'll bring it back to Robbie. I don't really need it. So it's in my best interest to make sure you're getting value for whatever you're already paying for. So really having a long-term focus on what you're doing, that lens is good for both the employees and for the customers.
So I'm really interested by this. You're working with small to medium-sized companies right now, but when you work with a large-sized company, how do you build that structure into one, especially one that is a publicly traded company, right? Because they have so many quotas and they have so many people they have to adhere to. How do you build that type of model in successfully?
Well, you start by taking a long-term focus. So if you're just starting out, then of course you can do that because you're sort of setting the expectations. And that's why so many people prefer to work at startups and small businesses, because the inspiration is still there, the vision's still there, the long-term focus, and people can connect with it. If you're a large organization and you've kind of devolved into a very corporate, very quarterly focused kind of organization, you need to step back and reset expectations that you're investing in the long term. And that can be really hard because you have to reset expectations with your investors and teach them, hey, we're building a long-term business. And so this is, you know, here's some guidance on what you can expect in terms of the results we're going to get. And at the same time, it's setting different metrics for the team. So instead of, let's say, telling a salesperson, all I care about is that you hit this dollar amount, saying to them, we're caring about retention, customer engagement, and we care about the lifetime value of the customer. I've worked with a lot of nonprofits, you know, that have these same issues where they start with a very lofty and inspirational mission and then get so focused in how do I hit my number for my cash flow to support my staff, that they kind of devolve into being more of a, like what I would almost call like a product company. So instead of trying to create an ethical and healthy practice for the world of physicians or for the world of medicine, maybe you're focused on, you know, we're a training company that does quarterly continuing education courses for physicians. And you start, or you become a magazine producing company because that's what you're getting paid for, or a conference company, instead of kind of keeping your eye on the ball of what's the social impact, because that's why we started in the first place. So So I guess it doesn't matter if you're a small organization, a big organization, a nonprofit, or a for-profit, if you kind of, it's very easy to lose sight of the mission and get into the day-to-day of particular products that are driving your short-term cash flow.
Yeah, and what I took away from what you just said there is that it's ever evolving, but there is a huge transition period for these companies, but it's not impossible. This is something I've talked about this time and time again, but it also gets referred to a ton of times with different guests that it is also more profitable, right? The data now shows that this type of model not only is better for people, but it makes more money. It's just changing that model, right?
Yeah, well, because your goals are aligned with the goals of the customer. So here's how it goes. If I as a company am focused on the long-term well-being of my customer, so that could be anything from saying, if I'm a gym, I'm not about selling memberships. I'm about seeing people improve their health, right? If I really believe that most gyms will say that's what they're about. Very few gyms will say we're in the business of selling memberships. But if I'm in the business of helping people improve their health, then my metrics should be about health metrics, right? And maybe I should charge people only if they are achieving those goals or if they're actually doing the behaviors that I know are going to result in those goals. In other words, if somebody doesn't come to the gym, I shouldn't charge them. And if you start to think like that, what happens is you stay connected to your mission, which has an impact of keeping the employees much more excited and engaged, keeping your customers for longer, accelerating word of mouth, because if I'm getting healthier, you can bet that's all I'm going to want to talk about. But it's so easy for companies to fall back on their products and their processes instead of staying connected to the mission. And you know, we're seeing all these companies now, a lot of the new companies that I'm working with, the disruptors as opposed to the disrupted, a lot of them are still very connected to their mission because they're new. It's hard to stay connected to your mission over time. Companies kind of keep reverting back into, you know, more product-centric businesses.
Hmm. Interesting. So let's jump into the last question, because I think the build up from talking about, you know, businesses changing over time and the fact that it is hard to maintain that mission over time. Let's translate that to people. And the last question I have for you is, what is your advice then for people to begin building a social impact in their communities or continue making that social impact?
That's such a good question, Avery. You know, I think what I would say, you know, I have two college-age daughters and a teenage son, and, you know, the advice that I try to give them, and this sounds so corny, right? Be the change you want to see in the world, but to go into situations trying to make an impact, just assuming that you can, and talking about what you're trying to do and offering yourself up to help. I think another thing that has helped me personally in my life is to, you know, one of the things I always say to people, you know, when I meet them or if I connect with them on LinkedIn or anything, is if there's ever anything I can do to help you, I hope you will ask, to kind of open the door for using your skills and your connections and your experiences to help the people you meet. I'm always surprised by what people ask for. You can be proactive as well and, you know, try to, you know, facilitate making an impact for people. But I think even just saying I'd like to be helpful is a really great start.
Yeah, I mean, being helpful, being open to being helpful is so important. But I think the biggest thing I took away from what you just said is go in with the mentality of making a change. Right? It's the same mentality they say in business or in entrepreneurship, where you go in with the mentality you're going to win. Well, go in with the mentality you're going to make change in the world too, right?
Yeah, that's a win.
Oh, that's incredible. That's my biggest takeaway there.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, and the other thing that I would say is that it doesn't matter what your job is. I mean, I see all these young people, you know, my daughter's friends, and, you know, all of them went into college wanting to do these very impactful things. I want to work to protect the environment. I want to work for social justice. I mean, I did the same thing, right? I went and worked for the city of New York, you know, as an urban fellow wanting to make a social impact. And then, you know, you feel like, well, I have to make a living, or I have a child and I have to support them. And just remembering that wherever you are, you can win, you can make a change. And also to think big, you know, you don't have to, you know, you can aim wherever you want. And if you aim high, you have a better chance of making a bigger impact.
That's incredible. So Robbie, I just want to end the podcast now just by saying a big thank you for being with me here today. You bring a really insightful lens. Obviously you've been building social impact throughout your life, but again, the biggest takeaway for me, and I think for hopefully a lot of listeners, is that, yeah, go in with the mentality of making a change and then do that big. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway.
<Go big. laughs>
Yeah, but again, I just want to say, Robbie, thank you for being with me here today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Avery.